Our theme is a receiving from God, and our topic today is living in the blessing. Living in the blessing, or maybe receiving from God through the pronounced blessings upon us as believers. Living in the blessings. I think that's one is shorter and then easier to remember. Shall we all say it? Living in the blessings. Amen. You know, each time you know, I greet some believers at my door, say, "How are you? I'm blessed and highly favored." Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
Amen. I'm blessed and highly favored. And you know, that's really the truth about we as believers. We are blessed and highly favored. We are blessed because God pronounced blessings upon our lives. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1, 27 to 28, the Bible told us of, you know, the first man, Adam and Eve. In verse 27, the Bible said, God created human being in his own image. He said, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And then 28 said, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So God went ahead to create man and woman in his own image. And of course, we know what the image of God is. What is the image of God? God is a spirit. God is not flesh and blood like we are. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. They that connect with him must connect with him how? In spirit and in truth. It's not flesh to flesh. We connect with human beings flesh to flesh. But when it comes to God, it's by your spirit that you connect with God. Amen? So God said, God blessed them. He simply blessed them. And those blessings began to manifest in different things. Provisions, protections, and so on. So, man lost it at the Garden of Eden, and then acquired the dead spirit, the spirit of the devil. But thank God for the love of the Father for us. He came in love pursuing us, and he got us back to himself through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that as many as have received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God. And as many as have made Jesus the Lord over their lives, they have received Jesus into their hearts, and we have received the right to become sons and daughters of God. And what is that right? The promised Holy Spirit in you. Amen? All right. So, in Christ Jesus, we regained those blessings that God pronounced upon Adam and Eve. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, 3, and 7. Ephesians 1, 3, and 7. Shall we all? We're going to read that together. Can we have that on the screen? Ready, go. May blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has what? Bless us in Christ with every spiritual given by the Holy Spirit blessing in the heavenly realms. In verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation through his blood, the remission, forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, and trespasses in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor. Amen? So, in Christ Jesus, when you come into Christ Jesus, God said, you are blessed. He said, he has blessed us. Is he going to bless us? Is he going to bless us? So that means if you're a believer, you are what? You are blessed already. So when you say, God bless me, you get what I'm saying? The blessings are already there. Maybe what you mean that the manifestation of those blessings that are already in you will show for the more on the outside. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. So we are blessed in Christ. The condition is that you must have to be in Christ for those blessings to be yours. And those blessings, like the Bible said, they are given by the Holy Spirit in the heavenly realm, which means all the blessings in heaven, They are all deposited in you simply by the Holy Spirit of Christ in you. The moment you are born again and you receive the Holy Spirit of Christ in you, you have received all the blessings in heavenly realm. Which means you have received everything that you need for life and godliness. There is nothing left. Amen? So, but the condition is that you must have to be in Christ for those blessings to be yours. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, 11 to 14. Ephesians chapter 1, 11 to 14. In verse 11 it says, in him also we have obtained what? An inheritance. What are those inheritances? The blessings. Whatever blessings belong to Jesus, they are all yours. In him, in Christ Jesus, we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And then verse 12 says, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. 13, in him you also trusted when? After you heard the word of truth. What is that word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. So, you choose to put your trust in him after you have heard the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation. After you have heard that word of truth, the gospel, the good news about what Jesus Christ accomplished on our behalf, and you choose to believe it, and you choose to put your trust in him, the Bible said, the moment you do that, the Bible said you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen? So that's how the Holy Spirit of Christ comes to indwell you. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of, but the condition is that you must have had the good news. That's the good news about Jesus Christ, what he did on your behalf, and you believe and you trust him with your life. The moment you do that, God is only interested in your heart. When he checks your heart that you have done that, you believe in him, the blood of Jesus, God's son, washes away all your sins. God stamps his image, and that image is the promised Holy Spirit. Verse 14 says, who is what? The guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The presence of the Spirit of Christ in you is what guarantees that those blessings, those inheritances, all those promises that God made to Adam is your portion. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christ that comes to indwell you when you choose to believe and put your trust in him, that guarantees that those inheritances or those blessings or those promises are really sure, secured for you. Amen? And he said, the reason it is so is because sometimes we don't perform right. We cannot perform right enough to earn these blessings. So, the Holy Spirit, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, God gives that to us while we keep pressing towards perfection. It's not that we settle in our sins. That's why he said that he is that until the redemption of the purchased possession, that is, our new bodies has been purchased but has not been, you know, redeemed until then. So what we are wearing now is our earthly cloth. And this our earthly cloth, it keeps on disappointing us from time to time. And that's why we are being encouraged to deal and put this earthly cloth under. We have to rule over it by renewing or re-educating our mind to line up with the Holy Spirit of Christ that is in us. Amen? And this is going to continue until Jesus comes to take us home. So, it has to be Christ Jesus in us is what completes us and what guarantees that we enjoy the blessings of God. The Holy Spirit of Christ in you. That's why the Bible said, in Romans chapter 8, verse 9b, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, what happens? You don't belong to him. Because how are you going to assess and how are you going to enjoy these blessings? It's impossible. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are not His. Because it is the Holy Spirit of Christ that indwells you that guarantees that all the blessings that God has given, they all belong to you. God has already pronounced that blessings upon anyone who would dare receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 12 says, "Now we have not received the Spirit." Let's read it together. "Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishingly bestowed on us by God." See, so freely and what? Lavishingly. It's already yours, child of God. It's already yours. If you have the Holy Spirit of Christ in you, everything that you need for life and godliness is packaged and in there in you. And God gave it freely and lavishingly. Amen? It is not the spirit of the world. So you can't get it by human wisdom. You can't get your inheritance of blessings by human wisdom. That is going by the five senses, by your natural senses. You have to connect with the Holy Spirit. You have to connect that, be in tune with the Spirit. It is by the Spirit that you get these things. Amen? So, and Jesus has been our qualification because we have put our trust in Him. Let's read Galatians chapter 3, 13 to 14. Galatians 3, 13 to 14. The Bible said, Christ did what? Purchased our what? Our freedom. He purchased our freedom. That's redeeming us from the curse, doom of the law and its condemnation by Himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, is crucified, to the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that we through faith might all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us from the performance thing. He has redeemed us from all the doom. If you want to know the doom, if you read, you know, Deuteronomy 28, if you start reading from, I think, verse 15, you will see where the Bible says, cursed is this, cursed is this. And God, these things are put down so that we that have received the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, will not all still be suffering what those that don't have the Spirit of Christ are suffering. That is the reason. You need to know these things. So that when you begin to notice something that looks like a curse, you must not allow it. You have to check yourself. And then you have to come within the confines of what the word said so that you continue to enjoy the blessings. Amen? Amen? This is why Paul, we the pastors, we keep on teaching. You might find us repeating things over and over again because we want you to get it. Look, I don't know how, I am a blessed woman. I am telling you, frankly speaking. And the reason is because God has been teaching me to live in the blessing. And by living in the blessing, things just keep on flourishing for me. And my heart desire each time is, I want people to enjoy what I am enjoying. This God is so good, He's so sweet, He's so real, and His desire is just to flourish His children. But His children limit Him by living in ignorance. And God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It is the revelation of the truth that sets you, is the knowledge, the truth that you know that liberates you, and that truth is the revelation of the Word of God. What has been made available to you? Amen? Honestly speaking, I am so blessed. Every now and then I say, God, you have so blessed me. And sometimes my mind will go back to when I was a little child, when they will be hitting to me. They were using it as a phone on me at the time. That is, he was saying, I don't know, Abdegeleaku, that's my name, my Igbo name, he who comes to eat. That's the meaning. He said that she will get wealth. She will give to me, she will give to mention all my siblings and my mom, and she, you know, and all that. It was a phone at the time, but I didn't see the reality of these things. I don't remember, I don't forget when, I was wearing the back of a cloth. I would wear it for 1 week, I would turn the other side, and I wear it for 1 week, and I was never coming out. I would stay in the dormitory to study. And I would have to pick soap that other people use, and they didn't want to pick. There was no money. I lived in abject poverty. I didn't see the reality. Sometimes I remember that I said this to those people, were just making fun of me. But in Christ Jesus, when I began to constrain myself to live within the boundaries of the Word of God, I began to see the reality of the blessings that God already pronounced upon my life. And that blessing is also upon everyone who is a child of God. Amen. As you choose to acknowledge what God already said about you and choose to live within the confines of the Word of God, you find yourself flourishing effortlessly. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's why we keep preaching. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, 27 to 29. Let's turn to that. Colossians 1, 27 to 29. He said, "For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory." 28. "So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ." That's our heart desire, so that you'll be perfect in your relationship to Christ. So have an understanding that everything that you're looking for is already deposited in you as a child of God. Longest time you live is just for you to constantly renew your mind, so that what is in the spirit will flow out on the outside and you begin to enjoy it. Amen. He said, verse 29, said, "That's why I walk and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me." Paul went through all manner of sufferings, but his goal was so that Christ be formed in those that he's ministering to. And that is our heart desire, that Christ be formed in you. Look at my sister and Kim, how she was testifying. Because she began to stand on the word of God. She began to push back. "Hey, Satan, no. This is not my portion. What God gave me is perfect. And he healed me by his stripes. This one is not mine." She began to push back because she recognized what God already gave her. She recognized that if the spirit of him that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells within me, he that raised Christ from the dead will also quicken my mortal body. She recognized that there's a power that is at work in her. And she said, no, this is not my lot. And the lady said, "There's someone with you." Praise the Lord. And there is someone with each one of us if you're a child of God. The greater one lives in you than he that's in the world. The Bible says we are of God and we have overcome them, because greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. The Bible said, "And who is it that will harm you if you become follower of that which is good? If God be for you, who can be against you?" The Bible said, "Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world." And the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. In other words, believe what the world said about you. But you can't believe unless you're fully persuaded, but you will believe in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, he will steal, and then he will kill, and then he will destroy. But why did he come? He said, "I came that they may have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full, till it does what? It overflows." That is the reason, that's one of the reasons he's in you. So that your joy will be full, and your joy will what? Overflow. And when it overflows, others will see it. And they will want to serve the same God that you understand, because they are seeing something in you that is not ordinary. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's look at Second Peter chapter 1, 2 to 4. Second Peter 1, 2 to 4. You see, these blessings, God gave it to us in promises. He said in verse 2, let's read it together. May grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. For his divine power has bestowed upon us. Is it going to be bestowed upon us? It has already been what? Bestowed. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness. Which means everything you need for life and everything you need to live a godly life, it's already given to you. Let's continue. Through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellent virtue. Then verse 4. Let's read verse 4. By means of this, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become partakers, sharers, partakers of the divine nature. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the promises of God are ours. All these wonderful promises are ours. But as you begin to re-educate, renew your mind, getting a revelation of everything about Jesus, because as he is, so are you in this world. The more you understand him, the more you understand that that's who you are. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:6, we are seated together with him in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not just in this age, but also in that which is to come. So if you're seated with him, you're reigning with him. You should have that understanding, the revelation of it. And it doesn't come by just hearing it once. You have to listen to this, meditate on it, agree that that is who you are. And then you have to begin to agree that those promises are yours. So that if anything is trying to show the contrary, you say, no, this is my portion in Christ Jesus. Because I'm in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, we receive these things. So the grace of God has made available everything that we need. But we have to receive them how? By faith. You have to receive them by faith. You have to receive them by positively agreeing to what the word said. By choosing to believe what the word, that choosing to believe that these things are truly yours. The Bible said that faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, that faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. What you hope to get, once you check the word and the word covers it, then it's yours. For instance, healing. The Bible said by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. So, I don't need to wait until this pain stops here, until maybe a pain stops here to know that I have been healed. All I need to know is, what did the word say? And the word said by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Then, this pain, you don't have any portion here. Perfect health is mine. Is Jesus in me sick? No, he's not sick. He's healthy. So I am healthy. You draw from the health that is already in you. I don't forget when, you know, you see, a miracle happens, but you know, it's a, you know, there's that anxiety, there's that panic. If you're able to deal with it by really being fully persuaded by what the word said, and then you wait for the miracle to happen. I don't forget when we needed food. There was no food in my house when we were at Lagos. When we were living at, is it at Adetola Street? I think it's at Adetola Street. I think they call it Adetola Street. And we were newly born again. We really suffered. But my husband got a hold of this word. And we were just newly born again. We just simply believed what the word said because of the miracle we saw. the miracle of a baby. My son Onyi, how God just said that you will have your baby. And immediately I became pregnant with him. So that boosted our faith. And then God was still coming through to us because we are just new babies in the Lord. And then when this happened, no food, my husband said, set the table. And I set the table. He said, you know, I put the plates, the cutleries. At the time, it was only Onyi. It was only Kene, and I was pregnant with Onyechukwu. And then he said we should all gather around the table with two girls that we are living with me. So we gathered around the table. We all sat down like as if we wanted to eat. He said, Father, I thank you for the food you have provided, and I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And he went back to the room and lay down there. So I just sat in the living room. I was wondering what was going to happen. And it didn't take quite long. Somebody knocked on the door. It was a man we knew at Onitsha. And he said that these things are for us. A bag of rice, 10 tubers of yam, a tin of oil, dried fish, crayfish, name it. I quickly went to the kitchen. I called my husband and we greeted the man, but he didn't know what happened. I just boiled the yam quickly because that was the one that we cook, you know, fastest. And then we ate yam. But that was the beginning of miracle in our house. At a point when, you know, it looked like maybe we will now be going to the church and we'll be saying, God, please let the man of God mention our problem. God wanted us to learn by faith that, look, the judge shall live by his faith. So nothing was happening. Until one day, as we were coming back from a church, my husband had a one man preaching, and that was Shambach, R.W. Shambach. And he went near. He said, please, can I buy this today? I allowed him to buy it. And then he began to listen. Then he began to visit that shop. Then he began to get some books from Kenneth Hagin. Wow, by the time God has provided a home for us at Queen's College. And one day, my husband said, just tell me what you need. I said, no, give me what you have, and then I will manage. He said, just tell me what you need. I said, I understand. Just give me whatever it is, then I will just make do with it. He said, I mean it. Just tell me what you need. Because he had a revelation of Galatians chapter 3 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And he said every morning he will bring us together. We will read that scripture, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. We will read it, he will preach on it, and we will all pray. And he said all of us begin to pray, God, you know, we've been redeemed from sickness, we've been redeemed from poverty, we've been redeemed from this, whatever it is that we don't, we began to say we've been redeemed from all that. So we were doing that day after day, week after week. So when this thing happened again, he said, just tell me what you need. And then I just said, one box of, one carton of, you know, cornflakes, you know, two cartons of golden mung, you know, this, one carton of tinned milk. I said, I want, which one is that best one that I like? I've forgotten the name of that. Pick milk. One carton of pick milk. And then I wrote so many things. And I was just saying, God, please have mercy. I don't understand. And then my husband went and pasted this on the wall. I said, Father, I thank you for these are the things we need because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He prayed and thanked God because at least I saw him looking at the thing on the wall. And then, by the time he went out, by the time he came back in the evening, he said, oh yeah, take the money, go and buy the things you need. I say, hey, this thing works. So I say, Father, I thank you. I say, Father, I thank you. And I quickly dashed and I went to Tejo Osho and I bought all those things. I chartered a taxi and I came back. By the time that one is finishing again, he said, just tell me what you need. And we've been operating like that. My husband devoured the Bible, devoured these books by Kenneth Hagin. He was operating in faith because it is by faith that we receive it. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. The word of God works. The word of God will always produce for anyone who will dare believe God. Amen? Amen. God has already redeemed us from the curse of Christ, redeemed us from the curse of the law, and sickness is a curse. Poverty is a curse. It is not your portion as a child of God. Because the Bible said that Jesus Christ, he became poor so that we through his poverty might be rich. It is not something that is going to happen. It's already a done deal. Amen? Yeah. But we have to be persuaded to believe. In other words, to agree. Because your faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof. What is the proof that we have those provisions? Because the word said so. The proof is not how we feel. The proof is that, is it covered in the Bible? Is that what God promised? Then it's my portion. Because he said that through the promises of God, we might, you know, be partakers of the divine nature. When Jesus needed money to pay them, he said to Peter, go here, you know, the first fish, you will find it. Whatever he needed, when he had to feed the thousand, he said, Father, I give you praise for because you will feed. And they had excess. And that's the nature that you have as a child of God. But if you don't know it, you live like somebody that is also out there, that doesn't have the Spirit of Christ in him or her. Amen? So faith is a way of life. It's simply a life of obedience to the word of God, a life that agrees with if God says it, and I believe it, that settles it. It's not just song. It really settles it. Amen? Your faith is your key to success because the grace of God has already made available. The grace of God is undeserving, unmerited favor. We don't deserve, we don't merit it, but God's mercies remove from us what we deserve, punishment, and his grace offered to us what we don't deserve, but we have to stretch out our faith, our hand of faith to receive it. And that hand of faith is, I agree, it is so, and I thank you. You might not see it right away, but be persuaded that what God said is true. And you stand your ground. Having done all to stand, stand your ground. The word of God will never return to him void. Say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will never return to him void. God is not a man that he should lie. He's faithful to his promises. Amen? Amen. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3. We're going to read from verse 19. Let's listen to what God said to the churches. What God said to the churches. Verse 6, he said, he who is able to hear, let him listen to and heed what the Holy Spirit says to the assemblies, the churches. That is, the born again, the believers. Like this is a church of Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, I know your record of works and what you are doing. See, I have set before you a door wide open, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and guarded my message and have not renounced or denied my name. Verse 10, because you have guarded and kept my word of patience and endurance. Why is it word of patience and endurance? Don't think that the devil will just throw a red carpet and say, wow, just go ahead. He will try to do what? To resist you. The Bible said, be sober. The Bible said, first of all, you know, submit to God. In other words, submit to what the word said. Then, if he shows up, resist the devil, and he will flee. He will flee so long as you live submitted to what the word said. In other words, submitted to the fact that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Submitted to the fact that Christ has already redeemed me from the curse of the law. Submit to what the word said. Then, if he shows up, resist the devil and he will flee. The Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he roams about seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour everybody. There are those that he may devour, those who are not persuaded by what the word said, those who are not living in agreement with the word. Seeking whom he may devour. Say, whom do what? Resist how? Steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in what the word said. Be fully persuaded. So you're going to patiently endure. You have to patiently wait and stand your ground and know that the word of God will always produce. Amen? Amen. So he said, with the expectant endurance that I give you, I will also keep you safe from the hour of trial testing, which is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell upon the earth. Then verse 11, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may rob you and deprive you of your crown. Hold on to what? Hold fast what you have. A lot of Christians are living a complacent life, and it should not be so. And you are just simply limiting God. It looks like your God is dead. It looks like your God is a liar. He's not faithful to his word. But it's simply because you are living a complacent life. You are not giving heed to the word of God. You are not fellowshipping with the word of God. You are not meditating on the word of God so that you will be fully persuaded to stand your ground. So that the little push from the enemy, you just buckle and say, well, this thing is not working. It's not true. The word of God works. But you have to fellowship with the word of God. Not the one that you come to church, you feed on the word of God, you listen to the word of God, then you go back from Monday till Saturday night. You are busy feeding yourselves with so many other things. How are those junks going to build your faith to be fully persuaded on the word of God? I don't know. And it looks like the word of God is not working. You have to give it time and feed on the word until that word becomes, you become really fully, assured that this thing will always work. And then it will work for you. And then he said, he who can hear, let him listen to and heed what the Spirit says to the assemblies. No, that's the churches. That's 13, verse 15. I know your record of works and what you are doing. You are neither hot or cold. Would that you were cold or hot. God does not want us to be in between. They say if you want to eat a toad, eat the fat and juicy one, so that if they are calling for those who ate, then at least you will stand out. Not that you ate one miserable one. And then when they're calling those that ate toad, and you know you ate just a very miserable one, and you're also suffering what the others are suffering. No. You have to eat a fat and juicy one. If God is who he said he is, and Christ is who he said he is, and you believe in him, be in totally. Be in. Not halfway measure. Be fully in. Verse 16 says, so because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Which means, maybe you might not really be getting much from me. Because you are still, I've never seen anybody who is in elementary one. You have not passed elementary one, and they push you to elementary two. You've not passed two, they push you to three. God cannot give you further revelation until you do with the one that he has already given you. When you respond to the level where he has given you, then he will move you higher. When you respond to that one, then he will move you higher. Amen? He said in verse 19, those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I tell their faults and convict and convince and reprove and chasten. I discipline and instruct them. So be enthusiastic and in earnest and burning with zeal and repent, changing your mind and attitude. It's because God loves us. Those that are not being corrected, they call them bastards. That's what I hear when I was much younger. But you see, it's tough love for somebody to begin to correct you. Somebody who does not love you will just allow you to wallow over there. I keep telling the women, I'm telling the church, whatever you see in me, let me know. I will gladly receive it. Then I will go back to God and say, Daddy, is this really true about me? If this true, help me to be, to have that conviction so that I'll be able to adjust. So that every day I'm going from one level of glory to another level of glory. Maybe you see nyama nyama in me today. Because some people love me enough to tell me, maybe by the time you're seeing me, I'm up there. And then you see me next time, I'm up there. Because in the multitude of counseling, the Bible said, there is safety. And where there is no counseling, the people perish. Anybody that loves you will tell you the truth as it is. And that's why some children they detain their parents. Because they love them and they want to get some things corrected for their own good. And I thank God a lot of people spoke into my life. And my mother taught me that when somebody corrects you, it's painful to correct somebody because you don't know how the person is going to take it. Take time and thank them. And I was taught that also when I was going to elementary school. When somebody corrects you, say, thank you. Because that person is doing you a favor. He doesn't want you to carry yamayama along with you. Amen? So God chastises us by telling us the truth as it is, as he's telling us today. We should not be living complacent, like we should agree with the word of God for these things to work for our lives. He said in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and listens to and heeds my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will eat with him and he will eat with me. What is that saying to us? This is talking to the church. Is he not in already? Jesus is already in us. What does he mean by his knocking? He's standing at the door and he's knocking. It's the door of your heart. Like they were telling us today, that everything depends on your soul. Will your soul submit to what the word said, or will it submit to what the physical self is telling him or her? And the only way you'll be able to hear when God is knocking, speaking to your soul, is when you're renewing your mind with the word of God. So that your soul will readily agree with the spirit, and that will now reflect on the outside. And people will begin to see how beautiful you are, and begin to see the glories of God over your life. God is still knocking. How many chambers of your soul are shut off from him? Maybe you allow him to operate within this chamber, but this other chamber say, no, God, I know Jesus, you are Lord, but these areas, please, just mind your business. You can just operate here. Yeah, I agree with everything you said here, but you see here, leave me there. You see here, I just like this one. Please, don't bother me here. You see here, I don't want it. Just operate here, okay? It's only where you allow him to operate. He's not going to force you, but he will keep on knocking because he wants you to have this life and to the full till it overflows. And he will keep on knocking until Jesus comes to take us home. So it's up to you. If you're going to really surrender all, every chamber of your life, or you just want to limit him to some areas, but he will keep on knocking. And verse 2 says, he who is able to hear, let him listen to and heed what the Holy Spirit says to the assemblies, the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The blessings of God are for whosoever. It's not optional. It's yours. If you have Jesus, it's already yours. But it's up to you. The Bible said the grace of God that brings salvation, it has appeared to all men. It's for everybody. And that grace of God is still there, but you have to receive by faith, agree as you read, fellowship with the word, agree, and it will begin to operate in your life. He said in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, he said, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. It's our portion. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. He's our teacher. He's our counselor. He's our guide. He's our instructor. He's our standby. He's there to enable us. We can do all things through Christ who infuses the inner strength. It is not in our own strength, but it is God who is all the while at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. As he keeps knocking, respond to him positively. Agree with him. Verse 14 said, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary. So don't let anyone disregard what you say. This is talking to the ministers. Just keep on teaching them. Just keep on encouraging them. Because it is for your own good. I've never seen any parent that your children are just doing it anyhow and you see that they are being limited, they are not flourishing, and you keep quiet. It will be paining you. It grieves the heart of the Father when all that Jesus died to give us, we're not enjoying it. And he said we should not take the grace of God in vain. Don't wait until when you finally stand before him and then you're being shown the things that are yours that you didn't enjoy. Say, oh,
so these things were mine. Oh, so I should have been. Oh, I didn't know these are mine. Don't wait until then. Enjoy them here. Start here to enjoy them. The kingdom of God is right here. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness. Righteousness. Peace. You don't have peace when you're in lack. When you're not flourishing. When you're sick. You're worried. You're anxious. You're fretting. That's the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. See, that's your portion. That's what the Father gave to you in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So since we have chosen to give our lives to Jesus Christ, the Bible said in Galatians chapter 2:25, it said, since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. It's your job to do what? To work it out by the help of the Holy Spirit of God. If you have chosen to give your life to Jesus, be really one of His. Be there indeed. Amen? I love what Joyce May said this week. I had it either Thursday or Wednesday, I can't remember. He said that God gave her three things, which if she would do, she would get the best of God. And one of them, she said, keep strife out of your life. Number two, he said, do whatever you do with excellence. And number three, he said, be a person of integrity. Amen? So if we are Christians, let's do it with excellence. Let's do it with excellence and enjoy the best of the kingdom, because that's the portion of our Father for us. Amen? My children are my children because they are born into the family. So whatever is in the house, they enjoy it. So if you're born again, you should enjoy everything in the house. But you see, they don't enjoy it by just lying down on their bed. If there's any goodie in the fridge, they have to walk out from their room, go to the fridge, open it and get it, and then, you know, enjoy it. If the thing is on the table, they have to walk over there, stretch their hands and take it and eat it. We must have to stretch forth our hands of faith by agreeing with what the Word said and enjoy what the Father has provided for us. Amen? Amen. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, He said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? When we feed on God's table, and then right after church, we begin to feed on all manner of things. You don't even know who is speaking into your life by some of those things that you listen to. Some of those things that you read, some of those things that you watch. And your life is shaped by your thoughts. And your thought is shaped by the things you allow to pass through these, your natural senses. And once they hit your heart, and the Bible said, guard your heart with all diligence. In Nigeria, we try to put all manner of gadgets to barricade our homes from outside intruders. But the most important thing in our life, which is our heart, that determines the course of our life. Nobody takes time for it, but it's a different ball game from today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So God wants us to totally depend upon Him. There is no battle of life that is yours. Like He said to Jehoshaphat, that the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. The Bible said, there is none of your battle that is yours, but you have to be submitted to God. Submit to God. Vengeance is God's. God is your source. If God is ever your source, He is very faithful and can be depended upon. And there is no good thing that He will withhold from you. Amen?
Amen.
So, but we must have to choose to completely trust Him and not pay Him lip service. His eyes are still roaming to and fro, seeking for those whose hearts are loyal towards Him to do them good. That is, in other words, those who are agreeing with His word. The Bible said we should trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In other words, acknowledge what the word said. And then you will be rightly directed or guided.
And he said, in verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 3, he said, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. A lot of people, the things that are going through are affecting their bones. They don't have strength to stand. They don't have strength to do anything because their hearts are sick because of what they are going through. And yet, they have the power of heaven and earth, the power that created heaven and earth residing on the inside of them. The greater one living in them. It should not be so. What we have on the inside, the gold inside must have to show on the outside. And it simply calls for we to agree with God. The Bible said, in righteousness you shall do what? You shall be established in whatever it is. Established in every sphere of life. In righteousness you shall be established. Amen? Amen. The Bible said in Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15, Psalm 92, 12 to 15. Let's open to it. He said, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Who are the righteous? Those who have made Jesus their Lord and their Savior. The Bible said, you will flourish like a palm tree. You will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. He said, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. God is faithful to his word. He said in Psalm 91 that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. If you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, if you are dwelling within the boundaries of what the Word said, agreeing with the Word, walking with the Word, the Bible said you are remaining stable and fixed under his shadow. And verse 14 said, because he has set his love upon me, in other words, because he's agreeing with me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, my love, and my kindness. He trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him, no, never. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long, however you can end it, life, he will satisfy me. Why? And show me his salvation. What is that salvation? Provision, protection, healing, whatever it is. Praise the Lord. Amen. You are blessed as you trust in the Lord. That's what the Bible said. Because you will be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of living water. And you will flourish in your seasons. Praise the Lord. But our job is to simply trust. The Bible said of our God in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, as surely as God is trustworthy and faithful and means what he says, his words are yes. And our job is to say, amen. In other words, I agree. Praise the Lord. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we ask or think, according to the extent to which we agree with him, we believe. There is nothing impossible to them that agree with God. Amen. That's what the Bible said. So, the Bible said about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. In keeping with the oaths, greater strength and force, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better, stronger agreement, a more excellent and more advantageous covenant. Therefore, verse 25, he's able to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God through him, since he always living to make petition to God and intercede with him and intervene for them. He's our great high priest, and there is nothing he cannot do, and he's going with you 24/7. So what is it that you lack?
Your job is to just simply agree, receive. The Bible said that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than two edges of penetrating to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is like a hammer. It will help you, sharpen you up. The word of God is fire. It will burn off any chaff in you if you submit to it. The word of God will purify you and you come out like shining gold. So, but you have to walk with the word. You have to agree. And the Bible said, I would like us to read this what the Bible said about Jesus in Matthew chapter 17, verse 4 and 5. Verse 4, I will quickly read that because of our time. Say, Peter exclaimed, Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I will make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But even as he spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my dearly beloved son, who brings me great joy. Listen to him. God wants us to listen to his son. God wants us to agree with what the word said about Jesus. And look at Peter's own account in 2 Peter chapter 1, 16 to 21. And his account and his advice, his appeal to us as believers today. For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes. When he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, This is my dearly beloved son who brings me great joy. We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your heart. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. Amen? Amen. What he's telling us is that we should listen to what the word said about Jesus Christ. Everything God said about Jesus and what he said about us is true. And Peter is saying here, look, we heard when the Holy Spirit spoke, this is my beloved son, listen to him. And even by that experience, we have more confidence that whatever is written about him is true. And you have to keep on listening to, I am appealing to you to pay close attention to these things that are written until it becomes a revelation in you and then you begin to enjoy it. Amen? Amen. We must have to choose to listen to the Son of God. The world is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. And the sons of God do not know who they are because we don't understand the power that is at work in us. But our eyes are opening today and it's going to be a new day for each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you look at the story of Abraham, the Bible said God blessed Abraham. God gave Abraham an instruction to leave his country, his relatives, and go to a place. And God said, you know, that he is going to bless him and his descendants. And Abraham agreed with God and moved. And the Bible said that, I think it's in Galatians, Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, that Abraham, God blessed him, that Abraham was extremely rich in silver, in livestock, in silver and in gold. So that when you talk about blessing, it is not just a verbal blessing, but those blessings manifest in your health, manifest in the goodies, manifest in anything that you need in life. So, and those blessings, because we are the seed of Abraham by faith in Christ Jesus, Abraham's blessings are ours. Those promises have been made, but as you live within the confines of the word of God, those blessings will just be flourishing through your life effortlessly. Effortlessly. I am encouraging us to choose to live in the blessings as we choose to live based on the word of God. Amen? Amen. Shall we all rise?
have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.